So, good morning. 早，大家早。那个今天可以的话，可能你想要尽量坐到前面一点，因为今天有可能会，我今天会放一些相片，所以你很远看的话，可能会看不太到，因为我们的现在荧幕有点小，所以需要的话，可能到前面看一点。So if you can, try to sit in the front because I'm going to show some photos. So if you're not going to, so it's for the best effect, you might want to see the photos, as part of the entertainment for today. So, I think, can you see? Okay, 吗？可以看得到吗？ Okay, 好。对，我们坐近一点，大家亲密一点哦，没关系啊。对啊，大家亲密一点啊。So, today's, topic is going to be about, the title for today's topic is Seeing Emotion Through Lenses. Seeing Emotion Through Lenses. And, 所以今天我们的那个讲题是用镜头看见情感，用镜头看见情感。那我想请问一下，今天大家听到这个题目，觉得这个题目跟什么有关呢？照相有关，照相有关，还有嘞？眼睛，眼睛，情感 ，emotion， 对，情感，就基本上就是把所有的字讲出来，就是，对，好 ，so today's topic is going to be。About seeing emotion through lenses. So by this topic, what do you think this topic is about? Or what do you imagine I'd be talking about? Huh? Prejudice. Oh, prejudice. Okay. Bias, prejudice, bias. Oh, it's very different than Chinese audience answers. Well, they say it's going to be about emotion. It's going to be about lenses. prejudice, bias, anything else? Filters? Oh, interesting. Well, obviously the reason why I say lenses is because I love photography, so the main topic of the day is actually related to photography. So, just curious, how many of you actually like photography? You do? You take photos? Oh, on the phone? Okay, that's good. We have one. Anyone else? No? No photos? 那今天这个主题啊，叫做用镜头看见情感。那主要为什么会选这个题目，是因为我本身是很热爱摄影的，那我算是业余的那个摄影师。业余摄影师吧，所以我会想知道的是，目前坐在这边的人有多少人喜欢摄影呢？啊？就拿手机自拍了，所以听起来，所以今天会摄影的人其实，对，因为我看大家茫然的脸孔，所以可能对这个摄影不是很了解。那你觉得？摄影跟学佛有关系吗？有关系吗？你觉得有关系吗？有，什么关系？啊？不晓得怎么回答我，没关系，这个也是。看到心会平静。大家有看过师父照的相片吗？师父有照过相片，大家看过吗？师父的相片有一些特色，你们有记得吗？法鼓山，师父的相片是非常的，你如果去看的话是非常的那个宽广，那个去看的话 ，so， today I mean the topic is focused on。Photography, and the key question here is, why would photography has anything to do with Buddhist practice, if there's any? So, So let me start with you. Do you think there's any relationship between photography and Zen? You sure? So what do you think it is? You wouldn't know. Okay, all right. Bill? Okay. Ah.
And so there are changes. What we actually think we're looking, what we see, when we look out and we have an impression, that impression is in fact oftentimes erroneous. It's not accurate. And it's because emotions, we're looking through emotions which are affecting what we see.
Ah, excellent. Yes.
A fetus is born, and then it's got its whole karmic, from all its previous lifetimes, it's got a karmic inheritance. And then there's the fetus is born, and then the sensory organs develop, and these are the entrances through, as they're called, through which we experience the world. Right?
That's great. Right.
Don't have any real idea about it. And then we react to what we're seeing based on those emotions.
Right.
And in that reaction, if the thing is pleasant, we might get the idea that we want more of it.
Uh-huh. Right, right. So I have to hold down for a second. We have to translate what you say. Yeah, you said a lot, and let me try to finish in a few words in Chinese. 基本上呢, Bill 他给了一个很好的答案哦。他说这个我们都是用那个我们的用我的那个情感去看这个世界，我们的情感就有点像那个我们的有色眼镜，然后他是用那个十二因缘法来讲解。 为什么这个我们会用这个情感去看？那他就是讲到受啊，就是受爱取有这方面的。 I just summed up what you said in a very short way. And I can't let you go on because you're gonna finish my whole lecture. Because I think I'm gonna say the exact same thing you're gonna say. So so I need some time to repeat what you're gonna say.
Oh, I was just gonna. You asked about photography and Buddhism.
Right. That's right.
You know, he was devoted to that.
Yes.
And I know Alan Watts also wrote about photography.
He's a photographer. I didn't know that. Yeah.
I don't know that he was, but that it's kind of pointing.
Yes.
You know, this idea of just this. Uh-huh. You have a photograph. Obviously, you have to interpret the photograph, but
yes.
At least it's something that everyone can see in a certain way.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's good. Yes, John Dido Laurie, one of the great Zen masters, actually also a photographer, I remember. He actually wrote books about it. Yeah, and I saw some of his photos, rich, they're quite excellent. I mean, he's not just amateur, he's a really good photographer. So I think you're correct that photos can be a symbol or can be a tool for allow us to understand our mind better. 虽然说今天我们在讨论是摄影，但是我想要大家知道是那个摄影它本身不是只是一个艺术的一个工具，它本身是也可以当做一个我们学佛的一个方便法门。而且这个摄影跟图案跟艺术它本身在心理学也会常常用到。那怎么样的用法呢？譬如说我等一下就会给你们先看一下一些相片。那在心理学它本身一个很重要的东西，一个很重要的功能，就是帮助人去多了解自己的个性，多了解自己的个性。我们都有个性嘛，对不对？那怎么样去多了解这个人的个性，或怎么样多了解自己内心的世界，其实有很多时候心理学家会用到图案或是相片来帮助一个人多了解自己，然后也会用这些图案跟相片来当作是一个测试人格的一个工具，测试人格。所以有些很有名的人格测验，它本身就是用图案跟图片来进行的。So, photos and pictures are definitely one of very useful tools in the field of psychology, especially in terms of personality psychology, where when one wants to understand their personality better,psychologists actually develop tools, pictures, images, as a way to understand the personality better. For example, are you familiar with any personality test that might use pictures? Have you heard that? Pictures? Rorschach? Yeah, that's right. Very good. Do you know how they start out Rorschach? The history of Rorschach. You know how they discovered it?No? It's basically, Well, yeah, but it's, what happened is, like, people are drinking in the bar, and there's, like, red wines, and then I think there's, like, a spill on the napkin, and then you have, like, pattern on the napkin, and when you opened up, now you have this image, this picture, and people started, like,ask, oh, what do you think might this be? So that's how it kind of like started. It's like actually a fun party game. So you could do that with your friends, you know, when you're ready. So, 所以这个在心理学啊，有一些很有名的测验，譬如说那个 Rorschach， 这个中文叫什么就不是很大，它就是一个用一个图案，没有意义的图案来测试你的人格。那当初它这个图案是怎么来的？就是有一次人家在喝酒，然后那个酒倒在那个餐巾纸上，然后那个餐巾纸上面就有一些图形，然后他们就说，那我们来看这个图形代表什么东西，是这样开始。So, why don't we do some quick tests before we start? See, I have to move on my first slide. What might this be?That makes sense, okay. any try? Yeah? Extra human pelvis? What? Okay. Yeah. Good. Anything else, Sissy? Okay. So we have...Pelvis and we have organs. 所以这个看起来像什么？中那个讲中文的菩萨，这个你觉得这个是什么 ？A city. Oh, that's a new one. I never think that one. A city in the middle. Yeah. Covering fog, maybe. Yeah.所以这个有些人说，那个 Harry 说看起来像有个城市在远方，还有看起来像什么呢？ upside down dragons? Okay. The more common one I heard is the seahorse. Yeah, seahorse, dragon. Any other? You can also, huh? Balance, 平衡, 有平衡. 但是是什么东西在平衡呢? 心态的平衡, 不用讲太抽象, 看, 就, 长得像什么? 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 像个人? 你说这两个? 对对对 有人说长得像那个蓝色小精灵 Smurf Some people say look like Smurf Two Smurfs Yeah, two Smurfs Yeah, Bill, you see anything? Oh, yeah, that's a new one too. Yeah. Bird on the telephone line. 有只鸟停在那里. Yeah. 有没有人看到一只狗? 狗趴在地上. 有一只狗趴着. 这里, okay. 没有, 我是说白色的地方. 有一只狗趴着. 两个耳朵, 这是他的那个, 他两只脚, so any, do you see the dog? A dog? They're the 2 ears, two legs, you know, lying flat on the stomach. Yeah? Okay. So this is actually what we do. I mean, this, oh, by the way, this is not the actual test. This is a fake one, but it served the purpose of education. So, what do you think about this test? Do you think it tells your talk about your personality? 你觉得这个是这不是真正的我们用的测试？但是我们真正的测试长得也跟这个差不多了，而且我们一次给你个10张，对，所以不会给你只1张，那会让你看很多张。 So in the real test, we don't just give you one. We give you like 10 different slides. Some mostly black and white, but some are in colors. And then we ask you, like, what might this be? So how is this related to personality, if anything? How would this relate to your personality? Yeah. It's nothing there. Excellent. So part of the reason is that there's no meaning, so any meaning that you see must be from you. So in the psychological lingo, that's called projection. You're projecting whatever is within you to this photos, right? That's the term projection. Right? 所以这跟你的人格个性有什么关系吗? 讲中文的服装，你觉得呢？ 有跟你的人格有关系吗？ 有。 基本上这个是没有意义的一个图案嘛， 所以你看得到的东西基本上都从哪里来呢？ 你心里面出来， 所以中文那个以心理学的那个名词来讲， 就是投射， 我们常常会把我们内心的世界投射出来。 那你觉得我们只是投射在这张图案上吗？ 应该不是吧？ 我们应该是时时刻刻都是在把我们内心的世界投射在外面吧？ 你可以这样想象的。 So do you think we just do projection on this little thing here? Or we do it all the time? Right? We're always projecting. We're always projecting. And you know what? What are the stuff we like to project the most often? Stuff we like to project often the most are our weaknesses. Our weaknesses, our dark place. That's the stuff we like to project out a lot. Right? So there are certain aspects of you that you don't like, you're more likely to see that in other places. And it's a, technically speaking, it's called defense. It's a psychological defense. So if you think about in Buddhism, something we like, we grasp, right? Something we don't like, we reject. And in fact, we have many different sophisticated way of rejecting our mental contents. And one of the very common way of rejecting our mental contents is actually projecting out. This is not me, this is about you. Make sense? Yeah. 所以这个投射在那个心理学来讲是一个很重要的所谓的心理防卫机制，因为它是有点就像我们那个学佛啊，我们学佛不是很喜欢的就一直去执取，不喜欢的就一直去排斥。那其实我们人，我们那个排斥的方式有很多种，有很多方式。那其中的最常用的排斥的方式，把我们内心不喜欢的东西排斥的方式，就是把它投射出去，投射出去，就是我们很常常会把我们内心不喜欢的东西投射在别人身上，投射在别人身上。So how accurate is this?How accurate? As the accurate as the viewer. No, I mean, literally people use this, we use this in a real test, in a real setting. When you come to take personality tests, this is one of the common tests we give out, the Rorschach. But how accurate is this? How is it possible that it's an accurate measure of your personality? Yeah?
If you're the psychologist who's administering the test, has to have some idea as to what type of answer indicates what kind of mental state is behind it, right? They have to. Now, how do they? You know, I took one of these when I was 13.
You did?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh.
My.You know, and very nice lady.
They have to look nice.
No. What she wasn't that she was, you know, nice looking. She was a very nice person. But, you know, she gave me, I don't know, I don't remember how many they were. She just laid them out. I just looked, and if I saw something that looked like something, I just said, there, I see this. Went through it very quickly. I assume that she...had some kind of, there must be a database somewhere with respect to these, to the pictures, right? This picture has been shown to 10,000 patients. Of those 10,000, we got this many answers along these lines, this many answers along those lines, this many answers along these lines. And we noticed that if you're in the first group,Right, you tend to have this kind of psychological issue going on.
Yes,
if you're
yes.
in the middle group, you tend to have another kind of psychological issue, right? I mean, isn't it?
I
don't know how else,
right?
It could be a useful tool for psychology, right? But
so you know, when they give this test a lot, sometime, you know, when do people need like personality tests? Is like when they're in a custody battle, you know, like the husband need to prove the wife is nutty and. The wife wants to show the husband's nutty, so they try to ask each other to take those kind of tests, right? So I don't know if you ever ask your clients, anyone, to take this kind of stuff, but people try to cheat on this kind of stuff. You know, they would go to Google, like, what should I say when I get to show one of these, when I'm taking my custody, right, personality exam. But I think, Bill, you're correct. The way they develop this kind of test is not just based on how we feel about you.It's really based on statistics, okay? So don't try to cheat on this kind of stuff, because unless you have a manual on what to say, it's hard to cheat on this kind of stuff. Because basically, you notice how some of you give certain kind of answers. Some of you give answers that look obvious, right? Some are very obvious. Like, everyone must see it, right?So one thing we look at is, do you give out obvious answers? And if you don't give out obvious answer, that's an interesting question. Why do everyone see it? And I'm sure you see it, but you don't say it. Right? I mean, that's one thing to think about, right? And also, based on statistic, for example, let's say 90% of people saw a bird, and you didn't see a bird, but you see a cat, which there's no cat there. But not only there's hardly anyone see a cat there, but also that we also demonstrate that 90% of schizophrenic patients see a cat. Like, what does that say about you? You know. So these are the typical examples of how we use this kind of data for psychological testing.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. 对。嗯。Uh-huh. 所以你要确认一下，你看到东西是不是正常的，就是。 所以我刚才我讲说为什么这个常用在那个心理学上，是因为那个他们我们用这种东西的做法是这样，就是我们会看大部分的人都是，譬如说大部分人会有什么答案，然后你譬如说你有这方面的问题的时候，你会比较有什么样的答案，或譬如说你精神分裂的话，精神分裂会看到东西比较是什么，没有精神分裂的人会看到东西比较是什么。 对，那譬如说会，对，那譬如说心理变态会看到什么，常常会看到什么东西，所以我们其实都会有一些很常见的答案下来了，所以其实很多都是靠那个统计，不是说，但不是说只是我看你这样讲，我就觉得你有没有问题，它是有个蛮正式的一个做法，对对，so this is a very common test. This is a classic test of how a photo can be used to understand, a picture can be used to understand someone. Another famous one, it's also, so this is called a projective test in psychological terms. These are called a projective test. There are two popular projective tests. One of them is called a Rorschach. Another one is called, do you know anyone? Any other projective test you heard of? Here's another one. Let me just show. We actually show you a photo, a picture. And what you need to do, this is called a TAT. What you need to do is actually tell us a story. What happened before, what happened during, and what happened after. Yeah, so tell us a story about it. So anyone want to try? 所以这个是我们另外一种很常用的一种那个 人格测试，基本上就是我们会给你看很多种不同的图片，然后你看这个图片之后呢，我们会叫你讲个故事，之前发生什么事，现在正在发生什么事，之后发生了什么事。So, anyone want to try? Yeah, you want to try? Okay. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, obviously she's upset. That's not too difficult to figure out. And
okay.
It's just the way that the guy is. He doesn't look sick, you know. So you might have one thought that, you know, he's dying or something. He looks sort of like he's drunk,
uh-huh.
Like he just collapsed, and that she's reached the end of her patience because she's tried to remonstrate with him, and he's been out drinking and gambling. He lost all their money, and she's at her wit's end, and she's practically gonna walk out the door and leave him.
Okay, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. anyone else want to try? Oh yeah, Bill, you want to try it too?
This is sort of in the spirit of fun, but it could be that the guy was about to go in and talk to his wife when some dust got in his eye.
Oh, wait.
That's it.
Okay. but here's the thing. Like, what are they going to talk about? What do you think? What's going to happen afterwards? Yeah.
What were they going to talk about? Well, they were going to talk about what they were going to have for dinner.
Okay.
you know, I'm trying to make it seem like the most trivial possible thing because, you know, for me, when I look at the picture, you see the picture, I agree, Harry's, the guy in particular, he looks like he's very, it's sort of a traditional position of somebody who's upset about something, right?
Okay.
Right? But it doesn't have to be that. That was what I was just trying to say. It could be he just has something in his eye, and
he's trying
to get it out of his eye. That's, right. It might be just that.
You mean the girl, yeah. Well, that could be an example of seeing the obvious, yet not seeing the obvious, right? that's an example. 那个中文菩萨有, 你们要试试看的。 Okay, good. Just laughing. Okay. Why you think she's laughing? It's a funny thing? Ah, okay. 所以我们那个英文菩萨已经给了好几个，一个是啊，Tours，英文菩萨已经讲了好几个，一个是这个人，这个男的，反正喝醉酒嘛，那他很生气，准备要离婚了，那个另外一个是说他眼睛里面有东西啊，所以才会在不眼睛不舒服，那再一个是他是在另外一个是说这个女的是在笑，笑得很开心，那有没有什么中文菩萨有没有要试试看的？ 来，夫妻关系。
那男的好像在女的眼中好像很没有力气，就是很像很失败这样，所以女的很想帮助那个男的，但是好像又很无助这样子的感觉。
Okay. So basically, she said that he's a loser, and she really wanted to help him out as hard. Their husband and wife. You notice how people have all sort of ideas. Let me give you another one. You know. She's like really happy and laughing because she hates this guy guts, and she finally poisoned him to death. So now is a good time to like, gee, now I'm free. You know. So you see, people can come up all sort of ideas. Yeah, and you have to wonder where all those ideas come from. If you think about it, right? Where did your idea come from? See, this is interesting. I can tell you that for psychological tests, we never give just one test or two tests. Psychological tests is always based on a whole battery of 10, 15 tests, like a lot of tests. So it's not going to be based on just one test result. And never based on one test result. All the psychological tests need to be sort of used in conjunction with your personal history, what kind of suffering you're dealing with. So there's a lot of stuff we put together. So 这个今天当然用这个这两个小测验来，是只是让大家娱乐一下。其实我们那个心理学家不会只是给这个两个这个小测验就觉得说你今天是有问题啊，不是这样子。我们通常是会给你很多不同种的测验，然后我们也会做很多不同的那个心理的咨询。 来，最后来决定你这个人到底你的内心是什么，你的内心世界是什么。Okay, so I actually didn't start to talk about photography yet, but let me talk about two basic points today. Here are two key points today I want to talk about. Of course, I'm using the two psychological tests to demonstrate the point, but the two key points today I want to talk about is photography. I think number one is a very, I think personally, to me at least, is a very good expedient means to practice Dharma. I think it's a good method in terms of cultivating awareness, cultivating mindfulness. I think photography itself, if you use it the right way, can be a good tool to collect our mind to be more focused and clear. So I would say that's the first point I want to talk about today is the purpose of photography is more than just taking photos. I think if you do it right, that can be good use. And the second point I want to talk about is that photos that you collect, that you took, that you like, right, can be useful tools, or they are almost your footprints of who you are as a person. Okay, so I think that's the sort of the second point that I want to talk about today. 所以今天那个我今天演讲主要两个重点了，第一个重点是摄影它本身不是只是一个兴趣，它本身是可以一个很好的方便法。摄影本身我觉得如果用的对的话，它可以让我们练习怎么样，可以练让我们练习一个体己专注正念。 还有绝招的功夫可以用摄影来把它提升起来，所以摄影它本身是一个非常好的一个方便法。那第二个就是其实已经跟我们刚才之前做的有关，就是我们平常会去收集的相片，我们平常会喜欢照的东西，我们平常会喜欢看的图案，它本身其实就是我们对跟我们内心是非常相应的。 所以它其实有点像我们的个脚印一样，内心的脚印。我们可以透过我们喜欢的相片来多更了解自己。Make sense? Okay. So the first thing I want to focus on is really how photography can be a useful practice for mindfulness. Right? Because, I mean, I'm using the term mindfulness because this is such a popular thing nowadays. People are like, be mindful of this, be mindful of that. And it's also on the Time magazine nowadays, how it become and this just came out like last April, the mindful revolution. So the idea of being mindful, is very popular now. It's very popular now. And photography, if you do it right, can be a mindful tool, a tool to cultivate mindfulness. Now, what do we mean by mindfulness here? There are many different definitions, but I think the basic definition, I'm going to make sure we're talking about the same thing here, is really the awareness, the moment-to-moment awareness, right? To have this clear awareness without judgment, So is to have this clear awareness moment-to-moment to moment non-judgmentally. That's probably the most common definition that Americans talk about when they talk about mindfulness. So this is actually my students. It's such a popular topic, mindfulness, that you know we actually, the school are willing to teach the students how to be a bit more mindful in the college settings. So to understand what, so the topic we want to focus on today is really mindfulness photography. Mindfulness photography. 那个好长，等一下。所以今天我们要讲的是那个摄影跟正念 mindfulness 在这个中文如果在台湾常常是翻译成正念，那正念其实有正念摄影。 的这个正念这两个字，它的那个正念这两个字，其实不是最好的翻译，因为有时候我们讲正念，我不是很清楚我们在讲什么。我觉得其中一个比较好的字眼是觉照，就是怎么样把我们觉照的能力带到摄影上，或者是怎么样用摄影来把我们觉照的功夫带出来。觉照是什么？觉照就是察觉，观照，就是把这个觉照功夫带出来。那这个。 为什么叫正念？因为正念就是当我们用方法的时候，我们禅修用方法的时候，我们唯一的正念就是什么？就是我们的方法。那什么是方法？方法就是我们的当下。所以美国人那个翻译正念这个东西的时候，就是把心带到当下，然后是以没有批判的角度来接受当下。 这是美国人诠释正念的角度。那正念刚才你也看到，有时那个《时代》杂志的封面。其实正念现在在美国，很多人对佛法有兴趣，都是因为跟这个所谓的正念或正念减压有关。所以我们现在今天要讨论内容是怎么样把正念跟摄影结合在一起。So, before we talk about mindfulness photography, we should talk about what it's not. What is not mindfulness photography? Any idea? I mean, photos, you just take photos, but what is unmindful photo shooting? Selfie? Yeah, you gotta do it right too, you know, you're like a 45 degree angle, so you look skinnier. Yeah, and then you gotta like, you know, yeah, there. This is the era of selfie. The era of selfie, the age of selfie, which is so significant because the selfie just symbolizes our whole age, like our whole 21st century. It's all about myself and let everyone see myself. You see, selfie might not be too mindful sometimes, but you could do it mindfully. You could do it mindfully. So what is unmindful photography? What do you think, any unmindful photography?
I said photography, I mean, if it was your job to do it and you're doing it in a very perfunctory way, just okay. Pointing the camera and being very judgmental, like you want to, you know, let's say you wanted to document that there's something wrong with a building,
uh-huh.
You know, and you're trying to prove that in court.
Yeah.
Well, that might not be mindful because the whole purpose behind you doing it is judgmental.
Right. Okay. So that's one good example. Any other example on mindful photography? Yeah.
I'm having a little trouble with this. A photograph, as I understand it, can't be either mindful or unmindful.
It's just an object. Act of taking photos, maybe that's what I meant.
So you're saying the spirit in which a photographer is taking a photograph might be mindful, that is say, but that's or not, right?
All right.
And that depends on the photographer.
Right.
Not the photograph.
No, I'm not talking about photograph here.
Right.
I'm talking about the act of taking photos. What would be a mindful way of taking photos or an unmindful way of taking photos? That's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, so the product is not necessarily the issue here. It's really how
It couldn't be. A photograph is a physical object. It doesn't have a mind.
So what would be an unmindful way of creating photos? Maybe that's what
Your example of the selfie, I mean, it does, you know, is what you're trying to say that if a person is vain and is always wants to get more and more pictures of him or herself because they have this very big vanity problem.
Okay.
That, I mean, the fact that they're taking all these photographs of themselves is an indication that maybe they have a vanity problem. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
okay, good.
I understand that.
Uh-huh.
And so that would be, I guess, a person, well, that would be an unmindful photographer.
Right.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good. That's what I meant.
I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I think we're on the right track. So, we were just talking about 正念摄影，因为今天我要讨论的就是正念摄影嘛。那正念的意思就是怎么样把我们心带到当下，然后好好的照一张相片。那当然我们要讨论正念摄影之前呢，我们要先讨论什么不是正念摄影，什么不是正念摄影。那刚才我们其实有讨论的就是所谓的非正念摄影，就是有时候我们照相的方式是以非常 批判的方式在照东西，或是以非常主观或是自念的方式在照相，有些人照相就是为了要照好看嘛，对不？然后我们有些人照相是为了要怎么样照出，我可以这样讲好了，我们这个学摄影的人啊，很多时候在照相的时候。 在照的那个刹那，很多时候其实很多东西会在你头脑飞过去的，你会很多妄想杂念会飞过去。那最常见妄想杂念是什么？就是这张相片好不好？有没有人会喜欢我这张相片？我这张相片会不会成为我的大师名作？对不对？那或是我这张照，或是你被照的人，我好不好看？ 对我美不美，对不对？这个角度对不对？对不对？所以其实有很多事情，照相，我们在照相同时已经加了很多东西进去。So as a photographer, I can tell you what are the common problems when we take photos. I mean, one thing people like to do when they take photos is, am I going to create my next masterpiece? I'm hoping to take, and you would take with some kind of pressure, you know, like, oh, this is right, this is not right, right? Or you would be like, is this going to be my best shot ever, right? Or how are people going to see these photos? How am I going to see this photo? You know, one kind of photo we hate to see, or at least I hate to see, as a photographer, is what we call the sugarcoating photos. Sugarcoating. Yeah, the sugarcoating photos. Those are the photos that look very pretty. The product looks very pretty. Looks very nice, beautiful. You know. Yet, at the same time, after you watch it, after you saw it for a while, then you forgot what it is about. And so it's almost like, I don't know, I like to use, not the best analogy, but I have to use this one. It's like looking at girls. You know how some girls, they look pretty, but have no personality? Huh? No character. Oh, that sounds mean, no character. But that's the same idea. You know, like how you just look at her, but she has like no essence. And then you just like forget about her, you know. And nowadays our society like to do a lot of reality show with that kind of stuff, you know. 所以我们说那个照相有时候摄影本身，像我喜欢摄影的人很讨厌看到所谓的糖水照，而且现在很多人喜欢照糖水照，就是看起来很漂亮很美，但是看完你三分钟之后，你就忘记这个到底在拍什么东西，因为它就是它唯一的目的就是要让你去赞美它。基本上，这种相片的功能就是我要你觉得好棒好棒，然后它的目标就没了，它的目标就没了。所以我刚才就是用，有时候有点像是看那个，我们看女生，有些女生长得特别漂亮，但是实在是没什么内涵，就是这个意思，就是你看完这个女生就忘了，或者是。没有特色，没有特色。Okay, so we're not doing beauty pageant here or anything, but just that's a good example, okay, of what photos should be like. So good photo should have some kind of purpose, some kind of, it can change people. You know, like at my job as a psychologist, in general, we only change person one person at a time, but a good photo,can change many people at once. Do you believe that? A powerful photo can change many people's mind at one shot. And they're not necessarily pretty photos. Did you remember the photo we saw a month ago, a little boy on the beach? You see, huh? Yeah, drowned, the Syrian. That's a powerful photo. That photo, if you're using the photography lingos, it's a bad photo. I mean, it's just, there's no composition. I mean, the composition's not great. I mean, the color's not great. I mean, it's a regular photo, but that's a powerful photo, you see. So good photo has many definitions, right? So what would be on mindful photography? These are like small words for you guys. It's more like the stuff. You're like looking at the environment, and you keep worrying about whether you're going to have a good shot or not.For example, those are like unmindful photography. You're walking around, you're like preoccupied with what is the best photo to take. And you're trying to like remind yourself what's the best photo you should take. You try to recreate your previous success. And you think about how other people think about it. Right? How you think about it. And you're hoping that it will be one wonderful shot.所以那个非正念的摄影，就是跟佛法无关的摄影，就是常常会在摄影的时候，会在拍相的时候，会以一种非常心事杂乱的，就是会一直想着说 啊，我到底要怎么样照最好看？人家会怎么想我这张相片？对，对不对？或是我要怎么照才能证明我是最棒的？我要人家知道我是最好的，所以这种都不是一个，都是不是一个非正念的一种摄影的态度。那为什么这个是不好的呢？为什么？所以What's wrong with the picture I'm painting anyway? What's wrong with taking photos, worrying about what people don't think about it? What's wrong with taking photos to hoping to create a bad shot? What's wrong with that? Anything wrong with that? What do you think? Is there anything wrong with it? Sounds good?Unmindful photography? I mean, is it really bad? Try to create great shots. Try to make people love you from your photos. Yeah. Anything wrong with that? Too much attachment? Yeah.
If you're a professional photographer, that's how you make your living.
Yeah.
And if you don't sell enough photographs, your kids are in danger of having to go on food stamps or whatever.
Yes.
Right? That's how you make your living. Right? If that's the situation and you can take photographs with no concern whatsoever as to how they will be appreciated by the people that have to appreciate them in order for you to get paid for what you do.
You'd be concerned,
right? And you live in the United States where the economic situation is what it is. You know, if you're a professional photographer, you have to think in terms of pleasing the people who buy your photographs.
That's right. That's right.
Right. Now, are you saying that means that's in... That's a non-mindful photograph. See, I think I might disagree with your definition of mindfulness there. I mean, everybody has a, you know, if you have a job and part of your job is doing something that will please your boss, right? I mean, you got to think about your boss. You've got to, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you have to make a living like everybody else and, you know, you're...
Sure. I think you've got a good point.
So
yes.
what do we say about that?
Uh-huh. Okay.
A photographer who's taking that kind of photograph. Well, and, you know, I know there can be extreme examples like paparazzi, you know, the people who jumped in a car and chased Princess Diana into that tunnel in Paris because they wanted to get photos of her so bad, and then her car crashed and she died.
Yes.
The end result was Diana died in a car crash. Okay.
Yeah, that's an extreme example. Yes.
But what exactly is your definition of mindfulness? That's
okay.
What I want to know in regards to this. And I don't think that, for me personally, just the way that I experience life, sometimes we're doing things because we have a purpose.
Uh-huh.
That's out, you know, and we're going to try to do it in a way that will achieve our goal.
Sure.
And if the goal is immoral in some way, well, then that's not a good way to be behaving. But as long as it's not that, what's unmindful about it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I just, you know.
Okay, so you're from more. Okay, I will return to you on that point. Yes? Yeah, you get the microphone. Yes, yes.
All right. Well, it occurred to me that as a metaphor, I mean, you could say everybody is a photographer every moment of their life.
Yes.
Right? So we're continually taking photos because we continually have a take on the world as we wander on through life, and the album that we're continually filling is our ego. This is this picture, and which we're either trying to impress our view of what we think others are, which is all inside of us, or our view of what we think we are, which is also inside of us.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, that's a good analogy, yes.
So in that way, you can be unmindful when you're sort of, in a sense, acting in bad faith. You know, you're always – there's some prejudgment, something inside you which is coloring your motivation.
Mm-hmm. So. Good, good. Well, I can return to what mindfulness means here. I mean, we all eat, right? We all walk. We all do work. And we can do them either mindfully or not mindfully, right? So you can take photos mindfully, or you can take photos as your job. Right? Maybe that's, I'm just trying to respond to your answer on what does that mean to be mindful. To me, to be mindful is pretty straightforward. To be mindful means do things wholeheartedly. Right? Do the task at hand wholeheartedly, using our lingo. But I think the purpose of practicing, so using an example, let's say a photographer needs to create photos that's pleasing for others. Yes? So in a sense, that is part of his job, so he needs to do that. But on the other hand, as a photographer, I would say that's a short-term solution. Creating photos to please others is a short-term solution. If you take photos mindfully, you're more likely in the long run to be a great master of yours, of your own, because you're not the same as everyone else. So even if your job is to take photos, I would recommend to take photo mindfully instead of just taking the photos other people want. Because when you just take photo other people want, you don't last too long in this field. People are always looking for something interesting and fun, right? So if you just become a follower in photography, wouldn't last long. That become what I just call sugar-coating photos. That's what sugar-coating photos are. Everyone take photo this way. From now on, I'm going to take the same way like everyone else. So if you want to do photos, so just using photos as an example, even if you want to create great photos, I recommend doing photo a bit more mindfully than unmindfully. So what do I mean by mindfulness? Mindfulness here, again, means the ability to do tasks, our task, current task, or taking photos wholeheartedly, which means the ability to collect our mind to the present, of the letting the task to be the method, right? Anything that's not related to the task is wandering thoughts. So I would define it that way, right? So, I mean, So as a photographer, I can tell you when you're taking photos, if you're starting telling yourself this is the right way to take photos, the wrong way to take photos, you're not going to come up with good photos, right? From my personal experience. My best photos that I took are usually not me taking the photos, but the photos find me. You happen to be at a moment, your mind happened to be open, you happen to see that instant moment. It's very quick. There's no time for you to prepare for it, which that's what people do a lot of time. They're preparing for a shot. They're trying to look for the right shot. I don't get good photos just by looking for it. I actually get best photos letting my mind open up and just be, having a good time. So in fact, even right now, I have I don't have a camera with me. When you take enough photos, you're sort of accustomed to see things. You try to not to see things in a habitual way. I would say that's what photography trains you to do. Try not to see things as in your habitual pattern. Always suspend the way we see things, more or less. So I would say that's what mindful photography can bring into. The whole problem with taking photo with a lot of agenda is that you're not seeing, I would say, simply put. And all the great masters in photography will tell you that you take the best photos when you forget yourself in that moment. You see? When you forget yourself in the moment, you have a better chance to get a good photo. You have a better chance to get a good photo. 所以刚才那个我们在讨论就是所谓的 正念摄影是什么? 正念摄影其实对我来讲, 我用最简单的角度来讲就是, 我们让摄影这个动作 当作是一个方法。 那我们什么是方法? 方法就是我们就像我们禅修的方法一样, 任何跟方法没关的想法, 杂念, 我们都要放下, 回到摄影上。 那为什么要这样做呢? 因为以一个摄影师的角度来讲, 当我们做一件事情, 不让我们任何的妄想杂念缠住的时候，你的相片，你更有机会可以照到一个 更好的相片，更有意义的相片。所以很多时候我照相，我觉得我照相的时候不是我在找相片，而是相片找到我。因为我让我的心比较就是比较开放的时候，我比较容易有机会照到不一样的相片。你如果只是一直想要照跟人家一样的相片，或是一直想要照让人家去赞美的相片，你当然是可以照，但是你以一个艺术的角度来讲，你是把自己给框住了，把自己给框住了。So there's nothing wrong to take photos that people like. It's just even from artistic point of view, you're limiting yourself as an artist. If you see photography as an art, you don't want to limit yourself. And the only way not to limit yourself is not to let your past experience trap you in any sort of way. So unmindful photography, the problem with that is we're not seeing, right? And the idea is we can let photography to be a tool to help us not to be trapped by our habitual way of thinking about things. Right? So the whole concept is don't let our habitual way of thinking trap the way we see things. Don't let our habitual emotion trap the way we feel about things. So I think photography can be a great tool to train you. Yeah, to train you. So like what I said earlier, like even when I have no, when my camera is not around with me anymore, I still like to walk around as if I have a camera. Because when I walk around with a camera, I know I'm in a different way of experiencing. I'm more opened up. I don't try to see things the same usual way as I habitually see. I try to experience. You know how it's like? It's almost like a kid going to a playground. You know how a kid sees things that they never seen for the very first time? You want to have that kind of beginner's mind. Use photos. Use your camera as a tool to help you to generate that kind of beginner's mind, as if you never experienced things. Right? So even, for example, let's say when you walk down a street, you're seeing the same scenery every day. Let's say your job assignment is to take photos of the street that you always pass through. This is the same street you pass through every single day. How are you going to take interesting photo? By seeing something, by taking a photo of something you see every single day. Street photography. That's why street photography is hard. Right? Go take a photo of your neighborhood. This is the neighborhood you see every single day. You're kind of used to it. Oh, this is how this look. This is how this look. This is how this look. How are you going to generate a photo? That's different. Oh, the only way to do that is actually be open-minded. Don't seeing your street as if you've never seen it. Or seeing your, you know how you travel away for 3 years and come back? You're seeing the same house, but it's not the same. That kind of, right? There's that kind of open-mindedness. So I would say that mindfulness, in any other word, is still called mindfulness. Because the great artists, for example, Monet would say, we try to see things, artists should see things in a way that they forget of what they're seeing. Try not to remember the name of the things that you're seeing when you're seeing something. Right. So there's that Zen approach to it almost. And the great master would say, you know, we lose ourselves in that present moment when we take photos. So let me just say a few words. Oh, 刚刚还没 translate, 对。所以今天在讲摄影，虽然说是在讲摄影，但是我想要让大家知道说，那个摄影它本身是可以让我们学习正念的一个工具，学习正念的一个方法。因为那个当我们可以把心学习摄影的时候，可以练习把让我们的心带到当下，让我们练习用不同的角度来看我们常常看到的事情。比如说我们常常走在街上，你每天经过的都是同一条街。那你如果要摄影的话，你要照相的话，你有没有办法把这条街拍的跟你平常看到的不一样？如果是每天都看到的东西，比如说你每天都看到这个，你有没有办法把它拍的跟你平常看的不一样？ 那要怎么样拍的跟平常不一样？ 其中一个最重要的做法就是让你的心开放， 不要让你平常的看法与想法绑住， 不要被让自己的观念绑住。 所以这是一个可以让我们训练一个新的方法。 那摄影本身，我觉得它摄影本身 跟我们的心是蛮像的。 摄影为什么跟我们心很像？ 请问一下，照相的时候， 你如果要照得好的， 你如果要照一张好的相片， 请问你的手是要怎么样？ 要很稳， 对不对？ 你的手如果在抖的话， 你的相片会不太对嘛， 对不对？ 那除了你手要稳之外呢， 你的那个镜头要怎么样？ 啊？ 干净， 清楚， 对不对？ 镜头如果不清楚， 手如果不稳， 你看到东西是怎么样？ 完全不对的， 对不对？ 所以摄影 就是要训练我们的心。 训练什么？ 训练我们的心要稳， 对不对？ 训练我们的心要清楚， 明白， 知道。 这就是止与观嘛，止观。所以摄影本身也有止观。 So I think photography is a good analogy of our mind, because in order to take good photos, our hand should be what? Still. Right? Your hand should be still. If your hand is shaking like crazy, unless you're a great master, if you're a great master, any photos you take, people say, oh, that's a great shot. But before we get to that, okay, your hand got to be like steady. Right? And not only your hand need to be steady, the lens need to be what? Clear. Right? So this is an analogy of our mind. We should train our mind to be still and clear. Right? So that's the basic function of our mind, but a lot of time our mind is not still and it's not clear. So photography can be an analogy of a tool to train you to be that way, more that way. Now, let me just skip. So I would say a camera is actually mindfulness. Okay. A camera is actually mindfulness. Okay. Now, let me get to the second point of the day. So the first point of the day is what? A camera, photography can help us to be more mindful. Okay. The second point today is that Photos can actually help us to understand ourselves better. 所以今天我讲的第一个重点就是照相本身是一个方便法。你如果对摄影，我是很觉得摄影很好玩，所以我会建议大家每次多照相。我觉得摄影它本身可以让你的心更专注，然后会训练你看事情不会以同样的角度去看事情。 他会训练你说，诶，我要怎么来重新的经验我目前的经验，就是重新来去过目前的经验。因为你每天，你不可能每天照相都可以去出国去照相嘛。我们常常看人家摄影都是，哇，这个风景好漂亮。你也不可能每天都可以跑去那个地方照。所以很多时候玩摄影的人都是只能照日常生活看得到的东西。 所以如果你有去认真的对摄影有兴趣的话，它可以训练你怎么样在日常生活最平常的那个经验里面找到不平常的一个方式去看待它。譬如说 flashing， 你们去 flashing 吗？ flashing 可以照得漂亮吗？ Maybe， 但是你要想啊，有没有办法把 flashing 照得很漂亮呢？ 照得很感动啊，对啊，这是一个挑战吧。那你要看到感动点，你一定要不能用你平常的方式。那我平常去 flashing 就是哦，我要来买珍珠奶茶，然后哦回家了，对对对，然后也没什么感动的，看到珍珠奶茶哦，OK， 是，所以这个。 如果你可以看到，所以当你的心比较开的时候，你就有机会看到比较感动的点，比如说是这样，对不对？ So I was just giving an example. I highly recommend people build up a habit of photography, even though that costs money. But not that much money, depending how much you want to spend. But I think it's a fun hobby because it really trains you to be more aware, more attentive to your daily life. Because after all, when you play photography, when you're like into photography, you're not going to get to shoot great scenery every day. I mean, you know, every time we look at like those great photos, it's always like great scenery, great trip, great vacation shots. You're not going to go to those places every single time. The photos you're going to take is going to be around you every single day. Stuff that around you every single day. So I was just giving an example. A lot of us go to Flushing. I mean, can you take great photos of Flushing? Right. Yeah. I mean, of course, some of the great photographers, anywhere they go, they can create great shots because they see things. They don't see things in our habitual way. They don't see things in a sort of a pattern, right? So photography actually trains you to let go of your habitual tendencies in that sense. So I personally gain a lot of fun just due to taking photos. Now, photos, let me just skip this part. Photos can actually be used therapeutically in therapy setting, in psychotherapy setting. And we call it the phototherapy. 那摄影除了它本身是一个好的兴趣之外，摄影本身其实也常用在我们那个心理諮商里面。心理諮商里面怎么用呢？就是我们会常常有些心理师他会请个案把，譬如说把家里的相片带进来，或者是会请个案去照一些相片，然后再把他照的相片带进来，然后以相片来当个媒介来了解自己，来多了解自己。So photos can also be used in psychotherapy setting, and we call it phototherapy. And in general, how is it done? It's either that the therapist will give homework to the clients. Either bring in your photo collections or take some photos this week and come in with the photos that you take. And so the photos become a media, a tool, or a bridge to help the therapist understanding the patient better or the client better. Right? So the photos can be used in that sense. In general, there are several kinds of photos that we ask people to bring in. There are several kinds of photos. The first kind of photo we ask people to bring in is just your favorite collections, your favorite collection. Like what kind of photos you like to collect, right? What kind of image you like to collect? What are the photos you put on the fridge? You know how people put like photos on the fridge? Yeah, like what kind of image you like to collect? You know, what kind of postcard you like to have? So this is the kind of stuff we ask people to bring in. Do you think they say something about you? The photos that you collect? More or less, you assume? You agree? You know? 所以有好几种方式我们会用相片来帮助我们的心理諮商。其中一个就是把你喜欢的图案带进来。譬如说我们常会在有些人很喜欢在电冰箱上放一些明信片啊，有图案的明信片嘛，就是有些你有喜欢什么图案，你有喜欢什么样的相片，把它带进来，我们来讨论一下，这是一种方式。Another kind is, self-portrait. But self-portrait, there are two kinds of self-portrait. Self-portrait that other take you, how other see, the self-portrait that's taken by others versus the self-portrait you've taken by yourself. Do you think there's differences between those two? You bet, right? Sometime, one thing you can do is ask people to take photo of you. And you know, often how people see you may not be the same as how you see yourself. You believe that? Yeah, yeah. And you know, I might think I'm like this nice, tall, handsome guy, but I'm sure you guys have like a different idea. All right. So this is the whole concept of when you ask them to take photos that's taken by other of themselves, then you can also assign them, ask people why they take photo in this angle of you. Right. Would that be interesting? You see, I take a photo of you, but I take it at a certain angle. That angle might not be the angle you like. Right. So why is that? 所以其中另外一种像片就是，譬如说，那个你的人像，你的人像，那人像有两种，一种是别人帮你拍，那一种是你自己拍自己。那这两种有差别在哪里？就是别人拍你的时候，别人看你的角度，其实很多时候跟我们看自己的角度不一定是一样的。 所谓的看的角度不是只是你的长相的角度，而是说别人觉得你是什么样的人，跟你觉得自己是什么样的人，很多时候是不一定一样的，对不对？所以有时候你觉得你自己是一个最棒、最善良的人，那别人看你是一个很啰嗦的一个人，所以这个都是有可能的，是不是？对。So another kind of photo that's very useful is also family albums, family albums. We all have family albums, I assume. And, you know, there are certain people you keep a lot of photos of, and there are some family members you just keep one. Yeah. Or you don't want to keep them at all. You know, it's like certain people are always out of your photos. Right? Yeah. It's interesting, right? Yeah, like, so who you like to include, who you like to omit, also says a lot about your family background. So, 另外一种, 相片我们会请他们带进来，就是譬如说那个家庭的那个相簿，家庭相簿里面很有趣啊，就是你会看到你哪些人你很喜欢，你就会放很多；不喜欢的，你可能就一张两张或没有。所以这个都是可以让我们多了解你的人生背景的一些图案。So, I think with the amount of time left, I'm going to show you some photos I took, and feel free to analyze me because in those photos. I have the photos I like to collect, the photo I like to shoot, and I also have my self-portrait and portrait taken by myself, right? Like portrait taken by others, portrait taken by myself. So you can feel free to analyze me. So the best way to treat photos are they're like koans. You know, they're really like life koans. Why do I take this photo? What is the meaning of this photo, right? And you don't settle with one meaning, right? You don't settle with your answer. Let the photo be the koans, right? 所以我现在要就是给大家看一下我平常喜欢照的相片是什么，然后我也给你看一下我的自，譬如说自拍是长什么样子。那你们可以就是以刚才我们讲的，你可以。 来看看我到底是什么样的人，你让你们有个练习的对象，就是有个练习的对象，你可以练习一下我从我的相片里可以看到我是一个什么样的人，OK 吗 ？OK， 那相片它本身也是一个公案，对我来讲，就是其实你可以看到很多不同的意义在里面。So this is the typical photos every photographer has to take, you know, sceneries. Right, yeah, I mean, you just have to take scenery shots if you're into photography. This is in Australia. So this is 那种很平常的风景照，照相的人一定都喜欢照风景照。然后，so and here's another one. 这也是一个很平常的一个风景照。那这个是在日本，刚才那一张是在澳洲，那这张是在日本。这个在日本一个很有名的叫做胎式，我不知道有没有听过，青苔，整个寺院都是青苔，胎式。So this is also a typical like scenery shots when you travel as a photographer. This is actually at a temple in Kyoto. It's called the Mars Temple. One of the fantasy Zen temple in Japan actually. And mountains, you know, if you're a photographer, you gotta do the typical one. This is the photo everyone took, everyone shoots. Right? Everyone need to take some of this. This is in Tibet. This is a Tibet photo. 所以这个是西藏。所以喜欢照相都是基本款，要有山有水，然后还有要，这是哪里？你们知道吗？大陆不是，看不出来。 Where is this? Any people from Taiwan should know. This is Yatan. Yeah. This is a famous scenery in Taiwan. Now, I can tell you, it looked like this, but in real life, it doesn't look like this. It has so many people around you, you know? It's like, this is one interesting thing about traveling is when you take a photo, it looks so beautiful, but when you're there, you just see people. That's all you see. So these are all the typical scenery shots. And that's another one. This is at, 这个在那个 云南, so this is at Yunnan. Yeah. So this is, you know, typical scenery, typical traveling shots. Of course, as a Buddhist, you have to take some Buddhist photos, right? So this is in China, also part of Yunnan. And anyone recognize this place? Yeah, this is one of the most famous Zen garden in Japan, Kyoto, 龙安寺. 龙安寺非常有名的，所以学佛总是也是要招一点跟佛教有关的东西嘛，对不对？啊，然后这个也是这个京都，京都 one of their famous Zen gardens. This actually happened to I went with my family, and the abbot happened to be around, so abbot tried to teach us meditation without understanding each other. The abbot just like sit like me, and that's it. Yeah. So, very good. Fun experience. So that would be my family album shot. Right. So this is what a jatin. This is what go on Chenja Lu Xin. So look at Sim Yao Zhu Tai Turi Pao Tai Jiao and Tan So. Now look at Sizai Siban Yuan Si. Jindu Siban Yuan Si. Kyoto. It's also in Kyoto. And where is this? Yeah, this is for people who never been here. This is Damajong Mountain in Taiwan, one of the temple, Nongchan Monastery. How about here? It's also Nongchan Monastery. I didn't take the most common shots. Usually, when people go to the Nongchan Monastery, they do the most usual. Yeah, but I like this shot more than the usual shot. And where is that? Headquarters. Do you notice what they're doing? Huh? No. What are they doing? Any idea? No, they're practicing. They're practicing direct contemplation. They're practicing direct contemplation. 他们在练习直观，看着那个水池，练习直观。 那其实我们今天的讲话的话理跟直观也有关系嘛， 让摄影当作一个让你练习直观的工具。 So photography and direct contemplation is pretty similar in some sense. It's a tool to help you to practice direct contemplation. And where's that? You don't recognize it? You should all recognize it. DDRC. This is DDRC. Do you recognize it? 这是在那个香港道场。这是香港。 这个你就看得懂了。 Hey, now you know this is DDRC, okay? Okay. But when you take more Buddhist photo, you notice that Buddhism is not just in temples, right? Buddhism can be anywhere. So this is a typical shot where Dharma can be seen everywhere. Yeah. These two are all at DDRC. I took this one at DDRC. I took this one at DDRC. DDRC is actually a great place for photos, believe it or not. Yeah. Of course, you can also see Dharma not just at the temple, not just at the surrounding. You can see it on the street, everywhere. So this is a typical photos I like to take, meaningful photos. And guess where this is? No. Well, it is New York City, but where is this? No. Flushing. Remember I was telling, this is in Flushing. I didn't plan to take this photo. I happened to be there. They happened to be standing there probably talking about what cab they should take. Let's take a photo of them. So this is our typical photos. I personally like this one, right? I personally, 我个人蛮喜欢这张照片，因为它的那个含义对我来讲是蛮不错含义，就是回家，回家。所以其实家在家是一个蛮重要的一个，在心理学来讲是一个很重要的一个东西。 Of course, when I go to bar, I take a photo of the bartender. You could go to everything you can do, you can take a photo with. And then I'm also interested in social activism. So, anyone remember what this is? Huh? But you remember what event this is? Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, Occupy Wall Street. Okay. Of course, if you do one in America, you gotta do one that's similar in related to Taiwan. So this is the Taiwanese version of social activism. And of course, there are issues. Social issues you can take. This is in Taiwan. Okay. So these are like so social issues you can take. And I'm also very interested in relief work. So these are some of the photos. This is, for example, this one is at Staten Island. Staten Island. 这是什么时候你们记得吗? Sandy, yeah. This is all from Sandy. Sandy. That's also from Sandy that burned down. This was in Taiwan. Yeah, so I was there helping out. This is the gas explosion in Taiwan. Yeah. And this is when I was in South Africa. These are the hungry orphans that we are helping to feed. So sometimes I like to use these photos or these photos as a way to explain to my Western colleagues on mindfulness. Mindfulness is not just something you sit on the cushion. Mindfulness should be done in action. Right, and mindfulness is a way of cultivating compassion. So, self-portrait. This is a typical self-portrait people take of me. And this is the self-portrait I took of myself. This is the Halloween, just past day. So now you can feel free to analyze how I am. But I think I will end my talk here today. Thank you very much.